This is Peter Crimmins. I'm sitting with Howie Shapiro. He's the theater blogger for Newsworks.org. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Peter.
We're talking about the 18th Annual Fringe Festival. This is plopping down on us right as we speak now. And each of us have this book in our hands. It's 135 pages representing, I understand, 135 shows that will take place over the next 16 days. Just running the numbers, that's a lot to do in a very small amount of time to do it.
Yeah.
It's an overwhelming amount of theater happening in a very small window of time. I know you're going to do a whole lot. You're doing more than I am. But how do we handle this onslaught?
Well, the first thing we have to realize when you look at a Fringe Festival, and certainly Philly's, is that it is an adrenaline rush you're dealing with. You sit down, you look at the booklet or you look at it on the web, and you say, whoa, how can I figure out what I want to do, if I want to do anything? And is it going to be good? And, of course, the answer to is it going to be good is up in the air. I've posted my Fringe picks. I don't know if they'll be good, but I know that they look interesting to me. They're attracting me to go from whatever I know about them in the book. But often what's in the book or on the web is very vague, because sometimes these shows are still being created as the book's deadline is coming. So they write stuff like explore, be amazed, stuff like that.
It seems like the way you describe the festival is that it's the individual shows you go to have some importance, but it's really the whole experience, which is one of the draws of the festival. Which show is the best show? Who knows which is the best show? The thing is just throw yourself into the pool and then see what comes of it.
I do think that you're right. You are really on an adventure. You don't know what you're getting. And, you know, the nice thing about that is Fringe tickets aren't super expensive. The prices go up every year or every few years. But still, they're not out of the question to take an educated risk, you know. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Say you spent an hour on something that doesn't work. If it does work, though, I mean, it could blow your mind apart. You know, it could be so good.
Now, how many shows are you planning on seeing?
17.
17.
Yeah, I might sneak in another three or four, but we'll see.
Even though we don't know how good these things are, there are some things you feel pretty confident are probably worthwhile.
One of the things I like is the idea of 99 breakups. A piece by Pigarn Theater Company, one of the nation's great ultra theater companies, it's headquartered here. It's in the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts.
The museum, right.
The museum on Broad Street. And in the public spaces there, people are going to break up. And I don't mean laughing, break up laughing. I mean they're going to break up. And the idea came to Pigarn after Quinn Baudrell, who is the director and a co-founder, saw a breakup on an airlines, I think, a very public breakup. And he thought, I wonder what it's like for people to witness that in different spaces, and let's try this space.
One of the things he described in the program, the reason to put it at PAFA in the Frank Furness building, which is a really lovely building, and it's an art museum, it's a gallery space, because the tone of the space is hushed. People are generally quiet,
right,
and they're very attentive. It's not an airline, a terminal or anything where it's bustling. It's just very still. And everything sort of pops when you put it in that sort of environment.
I'm sure that's true. The only breakup I ever saw publicly was in a very bustling restaurant, and it was just horrifying to watch. So we'll see what this is like. Actually, I think some of this will be very funny. I'm also looking forward to The Adults, which is a piece by the city's other cutting-edge theater company, which is New Paradise Laboratories, which is about bad behavior among adults who go to a country house for the weekend, which already seems to me like a pretty funny setup.
One of the things I like about Fringe, what I think of as fringy, if we can use the adjective, is going into a play that you know nothing about, and it starts out kind of bland, like it's plodding along, and you're like, oh, geez, I just wasted an hour of my time. And then after about 20 minutes, you realize, oh, it's just picking up. And at the end, you're raising your hands and you're going, wow, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
It happened to me last year with a company called Found Theater. They did this outer space thing, which I really didn't understand what was going on for probably 20 minutes. And then it kind of gelled. And you're like, wow, this is brilliant stuff. And they have a new thing out. It's called Deep Blue Sleep. And it's about going underwater, being submerged. And it's psychedelic, phantasmagorical, and I have no idea what it's going to be like, but based on last year, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, because that's the thing about The Fringe that's great. You have no idea what it's going to be like, right? And then all of a sudden it gets good. I remember a show like that set in an abandoned drugstore in West Philly where I didn't understand anything the first 15 minutes. I thought, how am I going to talk about this show? And by the next half hour, it was like 45-minute show. You know, I sat there with my jaw dropped. It was so good.
I was at that show, too. I saw that show, too. That was Charlotte Ford's show.
Charlotte Ford and Jeffrey Sobel. Jeffrey Sobel has just won a big award at the Edinburgh Fringe. So he's a Philadelphian.
The mother of
also.
All Fringe festivals, yeah. The Fringe Festival it has created an adjective of fringy. And it's hard to kind of nail down what it means.
I found that when I've written it, the only times I really use it, and I do use it more than a little, is when I think people will automatically know what I mean, that it's a little cutting edge, maybe a lot. It's not just sitting in seats and watching something, possibly. It's an experience you've probably never had before in quite that way. It may be memorable. It may be great, and it may be awful. So it has all of those elements, you know. There's the element of surprise and all of that stuff. It's not going in to watch Les Mis, you know.
And it being bad might be the most memorable thing you'll have. So it wasn't the most brilliant thing in the end, but that experience of doing it.
Have you ever heard the phrase, so bad it's good? Well, I haven't seen much at The Fringe that's so bad it's good, but every once in a while. There's something called Experiment Number 39, Old City, where they're only taking three or four audience members at a time, and they're walking them through. You don't know where you're going to go. You fill out this survey, and then you go on a journey that's sort of tailored for each different audience through Old City, and there are going to be strategically placed theater artists and residents even surprising you with different delights, I suppose. And, you know, that's pretty fringy.
You can look at all of Howie Shapiro's picks, fringe picks, on newsworks.org. Howie Shapiro is a theater blogger for Newsworks, and I'm Peter Krimmer. Thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome, Peter. A pleasure.